Blog Talk Radio.
No, out. With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Yeah, and I'm here in rainy New York City. I have a feeling it's raining in a lot more places than just New York City right now. And let's see, it's 7 o'clock on my time. The timing is perfect for today. I will tell you about that later, because one of my guests invented an umbrella that withstands the wind, and I had the chance to test it out today. We'll hear a little about that. My first guest, though, today is going to be Yuji Iwakura from Provincetown's restaurant called Saki, spelled S-A-K-I, and he's going to talk about sake, the wine, so-called wine, that's made from rice. Yuji is what you would call the kikizakeshi, or as in the wine talk, the sommelier. That's the way you pronounce it. It's probably easier. I'm seeing the pronunciation of the Japanese word, but when it comes to anything in French, you know, they throw in all these vowels and stuff. Yuji will be our first caller. And then we have, yes, that's then after that, we'll talk about these umbrellas. And also, well, the wooden tables. Well, how do you know, these are not the kinds that you just, like, fold up, and those aluminum things. This is, like, real stylish tables, and they're portable. They're so portable, you could take one of them, and it's not very light either, and just put it in a bag and take it on the go. Well, you're not going to really take it on the go, meaning that you'll go traveling with it. It's a bit on the heavy side. I mean, if you put it in your car and take it on the go, that's great. Very stylish. And then there's some others that we're going to talk about. Well, you know, when you have the need for things, you learn, you invent them. People come up with the ideas and they invent them. And that's what happens. And where did I get this from? Oh, this was from the Holiday Gift Guide show. Keep going to these shows. And so let's see what I want to tell you about. Okay, so I got home. Jet blueing. Wow. I got to tell you. I mean, I talked about jet blueing on the last show. And so when I got back into New York, I stopped at a restaurant called Deep Blue. Well, it had to be Deep Blue because blue is for the New York Sharks, of course. So I stopped at this restaurant, Deep Blue, and had some sushi, some rolls, some little appetizers. Was that delicious. They even had these Kobe beef little rolls and stuff as well. Really, really great. And But I did not at the time have any more sake because I was on my way home the next day having to go to the final New York Sharks game. And I will tell you about that game in a little while. But first I want to cut before Yuji comes on. You have sponsors, and one of them is JetBlue.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue. Based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Yes, go JetBlue. Or as they say, I go JetBluing. And so we're ready now to talk about sake. Yuji, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hiya.
Hi.
So let
How
me
are you how doing?
Okay, so let me see if I pronounce it right. Would you be considered the Kiki Zakeshi?
Fishy?
The word, I saw the word, I was trying to study some. Like the wine, like and when you talk about wine, people, they're sommelier.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the Japanese word, it said like for the same thing, for sake, you're the Kiki Zakeshi?
Oh, Kiki Zakeshi. I see. I'm sorry. Yep. Kiki Zakeshi is like sake sommelier.
Okay.
Yes.
So what I want to begin with is first to get into what sake is.
Yeah, sake. That's a very good question. Sake is not really a wine, not really a beer neither. And then sake has its own ingredients, unique process, and then unique technique. And traditionally from Japan, the sake is made from actually four ingredients: rice, water, yeast, and a mold known as koji.
Koji. That's
yes.
K-O-J-I, right?
K-O-J-I.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. And, but the soil, just like a terroir and a craftsmanship, are also involved, taking significant part in the process of sake making.
Okay, so let's hear, like, how do you do it?
Oh, the process you're talking about right now. All right. Start from rice milling. This is a big part of sake making right now because they start creating ginjo and daiginjo, which means rice milled down to 50% or sometimes 40% in the process. It makes flavor for sake for the last two decades. So this is very important right now. And after that, washing and soaking and steaming. And then when rice contains good amount of water, then they send that to the koji room with koji mold. That's the heart of sake making, brewing process.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, they add yeast and make mash called moromi. And then finally, a pressing and a filter and then pasteurize at the end. That's the basic sake making process.
Okay, so in other words, first of all, it's not like one rice. There's a variety of rice, just the way there's a variety of grapes.
There's a lot of kind of a sake variety, but there's a couple of kinds of very, very famous rice variety, which are Yamada Nishiki rice, Omachi, and Miyama Nishiki 500 Mangoku.
And these are this is rice that comes from Japan, correct?
From Japan, indigenous
right.
to some prefecture in Japan.
Okay, so in other words, now the rice, I understand, like the kernels of the rice are different. They're larger than like the table rice that we use. Is that true because of the grains, because there's more starch in the center? Is that what it is?
Yes. Sake making process start with brown rice, just like the regular table rice. But they wash and mill down to the half of size. That
mm-hmm.
means a lot. Because table rice, they just cut off the 90 to 80% usually.
Right. Now, why they I understand they polish the rice. Why do they polish the rice?
Oh, that's another good question. I mean, as Japanese, we don't really hate rice, starch, or protein flavor. But to maximize a sake flavor, represents a ginjo or daiginjo sake, we're going to polish to get the heart of rice, that's the white part inside of rice, deep inside. In the fermentation process, they activate really well. But near to the kernel, that prevents the heart of rice fermented.
Right.
That's why they mill the rice.
Okay. So and I had heard that the more it's polished, that the less it'll cause you to have a hangover.
Oh, that's true. Because it's gonna be so much more pure.
Uh huh. So now we have most of the polished rice is usually down to 70%. Is that and then
70% to actually regular sake called
mm-hmm.
futsushu. And that's the bottom part of the seishu means a regular sake.
Okay.
Then what we serve in our restaurant is from honjozo. That's regular sake, but milled down to 60%. And then upon that, we're gonna have a ginjo and daiginjo, the rice milled down to 50%, some of them 40%.
Okay, so in other words, and from what I get, so it's a premium sake would be down to only 50% or less?
From 60%, which is honjozo or junmai.
Okay, so let's go to the difference of what I have these terms. One is
mm-hmm.
Daijinjo?
Jinjo, yes.
Okay, there's and then there's jinjo.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's tokubetsu?
Tokubetsu, yes.
Okay, so what are the difference between those three?
Okay, let's talk about junmai,
mm-hmm.
for example. Junmai sake is no pure alcohol added at the end
right.
of the process.
Right.
Otherwise, it's called honjozo. And
okay.
So much more rice flavor, which
mm-hmm.
is pleasant. And then among the junmai sake, there's regular junmai sake. And then there's one called tokubetsu junmai sake.
Mm-hmm.
That means, tokubetsu means special rice sometimes, or special technique, or milled down to sometimes up to 50%, just like ginjo. That's tokubetsu. But in the process, it's not really yet the ginjo, so they call tokubetsu. So I would say tokubetsu junmai is between junmai, regular junmai, and then ginjo sake.
Okay, so let's say when you're looking to try to have a sake, is there any that's better, or they're just different tasting between the daijingo, or the jingo, or the tokubetsu? Are there a difference in taste?
They're different. Regular Jumai represent more like balanced flavor, and then Tokubetsu tend to have a more intense on some flavor.
Okay.
And then Ginjo has the like more decent, delicate flavor than Tokubetsu, but still has the intention. But Daiginjo is more on flavor.
Okay.
Than the like strongness of the rice flavor or anything.
Okay, so now I just want to get back to the way this is made. I have some notes about, you know, where I'm getting the notes from. From the book, from Rocky Aoki's book, Sake, Water from Heaven.
Yes.
I have a signed copy of it. I was taking notes that after the polishing process, then the rice is steamed and then allowed to cool. And then there's a yellow mold called koji.
Yes.
And that's added to it.
Yes. If it's yellow, that's called kikoji. It means yellow koji.
Oh, okay.
And then it's sometimes white koji.
Oh, okay.
Called the shiro koji.
And the I guess the koji, am I right? That's what it converts the starch in the rice into glucose. Is that
that's
for?
Okay. Yeah, that's a big thing in a sake process.
Right. And I understand, the brewmaster is called a toji.
Toji, yes, sake master.
Yeah. Okay, then the yeast is added, right? That converts the rice and water mix into the alcohol.
Yes.
Okay. And then during the fermentation process, they use... This is what I get. It says high temperatures result in a dry sake and a low temperature in a sweet sake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say like a dry sake, I mean, in other words, I'll taste the sugary, like when you say sweet sake versus more, I don't know how you say dry, like acidic or...
Dry sake, it's dry or sweet. There's a sugar level to define all those sweetness to dryness.
Right.
But it's also, just like wine, if it's fruity from rice, even if it's dry, you feel sweet. And if water is soft, you might feel it's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of parameter to feel. For you to feel it's sweet or dry.
Now, I also understand that the water makes a difference, depending where the region in Japan of where the water comes from also makes a difference in the taste. I guess it's like when people are having bagels in New York and they wonder why.
I like bagel in New York.
And they all wonder why the bagels in New York taste the way they do, and the answer is the water.
Yeah, I'm sure new tap water in New York means a lot for bagel.
So now I'm saying that the mixture it's ground into a mash, and that's called shubo.
Shubo, yes.
Okay, and that mash will get strained and filtered and.
Ship fresh, which is called namazake, in a traditional way, we're gonna pasteurize to get a consistency all the time. Otherwise, you have to keep that in the fridge all the time.
Right, and I understand if it's straight from the filtration system, that's called namasake.
Namasake or namazake.
Yeah.
So it's fresh sake.
Is that the kind of thing when you see that kind of cloudiness?
It could be one of them, but that's called nigori. Or in winter time, it's called shinshu.
Mm-hmm.
It's like new, like sake nubo, for example. And then they don't filter. So well, that's why the unfermented rice cloud is still in there in the bottle.
Okay. So now we have, now that we have pretty much of an idea of, and by the way, I attended a ceremony that it was an opening of a restaurant. And Rocky Aoki was there,
mm-hmm.
and the ceremony was that there was a cedar barrel.
Cedar
with
bottle,
a wooden
yeah.
top, and it's which is called a komodanu. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Did I get the word right? Komodanu?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And which is like, I guess what he did, everybody takes mallets and they break it.
That's the ceremony. Yeah.
And, and then the sake is ladled out and served in, and it's called masu.
Masu, wooden square.
The wooden cups, the square
box.
Cups. Yeah, I know. Steve said to
you know
me.
A lot. Actually, Steve, you don't have to ask me.
Steve, no, I'm going to get into a lot of other things, but I understand.
Oh, I see.
Steve got them delivered, and nobody knew what to do with them, or not anybody. He wasn't sure because he didn't think people really understood what the square cups are about, you know, but which is okay. But what I want to really get into now is about the tasting, the various, like the ones, I want to first go into the ones that I tasted, and then we'll go into the ones that are on your the menu there at Sake, and to like kind of describe what they all are. So the flight that I did, the sake flight, that I did. I mean, do you have it with you, or should I tell you, read it?
Yes,
I have.
Yes, I have it with me.
Okay, so describe what these particular ones were and how they tasted, or how they, you know.
Sure.
But,
The day I introduced a special 4 sake flight instead of 3, which is our flight has always 3 sake flights on the plate. And I just made a 4 for you. And the theme, I put up most of like junmai ginjo, 3 junmai ginjo, and 1 tokubetsu junmai is to introduce you a difference from region to region in the same category of sake.
Okay. That's why I see that the first 3 were mm-hmm. Junmai
Jinjo.
Okay. But even though, just so people understand, even though they were all Junmai Jinjo,
Jinjo.
Yeah. Didn't mean they all tasted the same.
Different.
Yeah. It's like just the way, so people understand, just the way, like, if somebody orders a wine that's a Chardonnay, doesn't mean it's going to taste the same.
But it's actually different. That's a nice part of tasting sake, just like wine.
Okay, so let's describe the first 3 that I had that were all junmai jingjo.
Sure. So number 1, that's kikusui. English name is chrysanthemum. It means junmai jingjo.
Now, just before you describe it, when it says Kikusui, is that the brand? Is that name of the brand?
It's brand widely spread around central Japan.
Uh-huh.
From Gifu Prefecture to Niigata Prefecture.
Okay. In other words, I'm saying, like, if I bought a bottle of this, is the brand name Kikusui or not?
Brand name is Kikusui.
Okay.
And also sake's name.
Okay. Okay, now let's continue. Okay.
Okay, great. So this is from Niigata Prefecture in central Japan, where water nearby mountain streams is naturally sweet and soft. So not really minerally.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, good for making coffee for this area. And made from 100% omachi rice, which has earthy aroma. So the rice variety involved too. And then this sake milled down to 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the result is very clean tone with hint of wild flower at the end.
Okay, which they all tasted fabulous, by the way.
And this is good, and the bottle is beautiful, mm-hmm. too. It represents the beautiful water.
Mm-hmm.
So bottle has the like water-like color and texture.
Right.
And you got to come to see it. It's beautiful.
So, and by the way, when you taste the sakes, you mm-hmm. can you tell like the region it's from or anything? When you're tasting any of the sakes,
mm-hmm.
Can you tell anything like where the water is from or the region, or you have to read the label?
To be honest, I still have to read the label.
Okay.
But like I can feel from the taste what kind of water.
Okay.
And what kind of rice?
Oh, okay.
I mean, as you go like tasting sake, just like wine, like the rice variety can tell.
Mm-hmm.
So easy. For example, Yamada Nishiki, which I introduced later on, but Yamada Nishiki has a so flavorful. You will feel sweetness to it. But instead of that, omachi rice has the very earthy and not dry but smooth, but not really sweet.
Okay, so and so that's the next one we had that I had was
Sato no Homare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the English name of Pride of Village,
mm-hmm.
Junmai Ginjo. It's from Ibaraki Prefecture. That's a little east from Tokyo. Very nice area. There's a little small peninsula, and they will catch a lot of fish. Nice exotic fish. So they're a very nice area to have the nice water.
Mm-hmm.
And the rice variety is Yamada Nishiki and Miyama Nishiki rice. And then those combination creates this noble sake. It has a fragrant aroma and a rich flavor.
Okay.
And the rice meal down to 50% for the fermented rice and 55% for the koji mold.
Oh, okay.
And then this sake is made organically and unfiltered at the final stage and semi-pasteurized. That's very interesting because that makes it taste like fresh and like right out of the ginjo tank flavor.
Right. I think of the four, I mean, I had to kind of go back and forth. That's
mm-hmm.
the one that I like the most.
Oh, you like the most?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm so glad because my VIP loves this wine a lot.
Mm.
He found that in Chicago, and I came over to Boston, and then he found it in my restaurant I worked, and then he was so psyched. And I understand because with this, you can taste the full of ginjo flavor. It's like, although it's just ginjo, not dai ginjo, but like you can feel the ginjo flavor
right.
out of the tongue.
Okay. And then the next one
is my favorite, Dasai Junmai Ginjo. All of this 50. 50 means like this rice meal down to 50.
Mm-hmm.
From Yamaguchi Prefecture, so western Japan near to Kyushu. And this has a clean, soft, very subtle, and balanced aroma and a wild sweetness. And because this is made from 100% Yamada Nishiki rice, and you can enjoy full Yamada Nishiki rice flavor, which is very, very good.
Okay. And then the last one, which I think you were telling me, like, a little bit of alcohol was added to the last one?
This one is not, actually, because this is still Junmai.
Okay.
And then this is Tokubetsu Junmai. The brand name is Shirakabe Grad from Takara Shuzo. And from North in Hyogo Prefecture, known as Kobe City, just like Kobe beef.
Uh-huh.
And then this made from 100% Gohyaku Mangoku rice. And then again, unfiltered at the final stage. And then intensity of rice flavor and even hint of banana. And this area is surrounded with beautiful mountain. And in winter time, since this fermentation process is done in snow, so taste is very clear and yet delicate, even if it's just tokubetsu junmai category.
Right. Now, the thing I wanted to go through, and by the way, I just want to kind of say, I know my next caller is on my switchboard, and just hang on because I want to finish this. It's okay. Just in case he thinks, I'm ignoring him. I'm not ignoring him. I want to complete this because what I want to do is I have the list of the sakis that you have at the restaurant, and I just want to kind of not to go through all of them as much as like what does it mean? Like if I'm seeing one, so it says junmai sake. What's mm-hmm. the difference between, like, if I look at saying junmai sake versus junmai jingjo sake or junmai dajinjo sake? In other words, if I'm looking on a list and mm-hmm. I'm making a choice, what is it that I'm looking at? What does it say about the category?
If I try to explain details, that's very detailed, but daijinjo sake tends to be very expensive, not because of a milling process, like milled down to 50 or 40%, and then that makes sense too, because like if it's 40%, you have to use a double rice than
right.
the other 70 or 80% of rice. But not only that, like fermentation process, there's a lot of technique will be needed. And
mm-hmm.
also the rice, the grade of rice they use a little different. I mean, if I can show you the bag of the rice, for example, Yamada Nishiki, if they stamp the Tokujo, that's the top grade of 5 grades of rice. And then that will be used for ginjo or daiginjo.
Okay, so in other words, let's say I'm looking at this and I'm saying, I want your best, like if somebody says, I want your best champagne, I want your best sake, am I looking at the junmai daiginjo sake?
Ginjo.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
yes,
the one
and from our list, I strongly suggest, I mean, for looking, to look for the, like, ultimate sake, I definitely suggest you to have same Dasai, but out of this 23, that's milled down to 23%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can go to heaven with it.
Okay. So in other words, first, let's just say if I'm looking at a menu and I say, going at your best, and then I'm looking at this and there's four of your best. So all four are going to still taste different even though they're the top quality.
Yes.
I shouldn't expect all four to taste the same just because they're the top.
No, not at all. No, all sake tastes different.
Okay. So now, the best thing to do, actually, if you're going to get sake,
mm-hmm.
not just say I want a glass of sake. Yeah. If it's not a authentic, Japanese restaurant, then it's probably going to come out of a box. You know what I mean? So the thing is I would like talk with you and kind of tell you maybe what my palate wants. Like I want something dry,
mm-hmm.
or I want something sweet, or things like
mm-hmm.
that. So I would
mm-hmm.
actually tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So and that's the way to do it. And so I understand. And just to let people know, what the restaurant is located on Commercial Street. What's the address there?
Yes. The address is 258 Commercial Street, right next to Town Hall.
Okay.
Heart of Provincetown.
Okay. And the food. Oh, by the way, the food is great too.
Thank you.
and I don't know if you get it, if you go on the computer to see the show, there's a picture
mm-hmm.
of you and I right on
okay.
right up there. And what I encourage is that if you do this and you get there are you have you say three flights, right?
Three flights.
Yeah. So this way, as opposed to just, you know, this is the best way to taste sake is do it a flight. The way they do a flight of wine, you do a flight of sake. And you get when you're getting a flight, just so people understand, when you set up a flight, do you set it up in terms of like the the driest to the sweetest, or this, in other words, the first one will be like some, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. Just example, our Junmai flight starts from Tokai Living Jewel Junmai. This has a like very typical Junmai flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But next one, Kikusui Junmai Ginjo.
Right.
It's actually mild than the Tokai Junmai, but it's different from typical Junmai. That's why we put this in second.
Okay.
And then the third one, Dasai Autofest 50 Junmai Ginjo, which is the most decent one in this list.
Okay.
So you can, this list you can enjoy from typical one, and then something of focus more onto the water.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and then third one, you can enjoy more finish and
okay.
technique. Of the toji,
and if you're into like just something like on the the more sweet side or whatever the brand called Sake Tumi. I see you have the Asian pear and the ginger mango.
Yeah.
I tasted those. I was I was at an event and they had it there, so that's what and I was able to take some. Home with me. They're good.
They're good. I mean,
if you want a wine cooler, you know, it's that kind of category.
It's like a blush wine and some kind of that, and then nothing bad.
Yeah.
You know, first time you try sake, I definitely suggest you to try this sake.
Yeah.
Get tired of this kind of taste, and then start tasting honjozo, junmai, and then ginjo, dainjo.
Okay.
So you can appreciate more on the more expensive side stuff.
Okay, great. Well, I thank you very much, Yuji, for calling and going through this. Of course, if anybody has any kind of questions, they can kind of get back to me, and I'll call you, and we'll continue with this at some point. Who knows where I'll do another. I may do another sake tasting someplace else and then call on you to ask you what I drank.
Sure, at any time. Just
okay.
call me on anywhere, any place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. But you guys don't have a website yet, do you?
Oh, yes. Not really a website right now, but we have Facebook.
Oh, you're on Facebook. Okay. All right. Well, when you guys get a website, I'll blast that. But I got this. There'll be information that'll be out in the newspapers that I'll be writing about the place. And I encourage everybody to go not just for the sake, but for the food too.
Great. Yeah, food is actually great.
Yeah. Okay. Yep, again,
more,
thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, so
yeah,
thank you again,
so
Yuji.
Thank you. And if anybody comes to our restaurant and then have a question about sake, call me Yuji, and I'll be there.
You got it. All right. Have a great evening, Yuji.
You too. Thank
and
you so much.
Say hello to Steve for me.
Hey. Yep,
okay.
I will.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sake, yes. Well, I'm so sorry. So now what the story is. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Okay, it wasn't a Monday, but it was a rainy day, wasn't it? You're on the air.
Yes, it absolutely was, and rainy days do not get me down. The reason why rainy days do not get me down is because I make the world's best umbrella. Anybody who has one of my umbrellas. Those, they're the ones that are usually standing on the street corner singing in the rain while everybody else's umbrellas are falling apart.
That's right. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
It's called the Gust Buster, and we
are
on Facebook, and your fans could win by joining up the fan site on Gust Buster.
Really?
And entering one of our contests, of course, obviously, either going to our website, which is GustBuster.com, or going to a numerous internet sites such as Amazon or NovaGolf. And depending on where they are in the country, they're all over the place. But they're not any major department stores because they want to do things the difficult way and sell you umbrellas that have to be replaced. We give a limited lifetime warranty that basically says if you don't abuse it, we're going to repair it or send you a new one.
That's great.
And our umbrellas are unflippable, unflappable, unleakable to over 55 miles an hour. And I'm sure by now you've got an opportunity to use yours in quite a few different weather scenarios, including today's wonderful rain that closed Bethpage. And I'm sure if anybody is a golfer out there that was watching Bethpage, Tiger Woods' brand-new umbrella, which was delivered to him Tuesday, was out there that I personally made. So, not with a needle and thread, but I did logo it.
Okay.
I'm not very good with needles and thread. But our umbrellas are a double canopy umbrella, and the only double canopy umbrella, Merle, that do not leak. And the reason why they don't leak.
Yeah, why? Why don't they leak?
Because
before we get into that, you know, we never introduced you. Tell everybody what the hell your name is.
My name is Steve Asman. I am president of the world's smartest umbrella called Gust Buster. That's in gust as in wind, not as in gut as in fat stomach, although both of which are applicable to me.
Okay. Now let's go back to this.
What breaks an umbrella? Why don't we start with that? You want to know why those umbrellas break on the corner?
Why do
very
umbrellas
simple
break
engineers.
On the corner? Yes.
Well, I'm very glad you asked that, Merle. The reason why umbrellas break on the corner is wind pressure breaks the umbrella. And that's what flips an umbrella. The structure can't handle the sail or parachute of what the canopy, whether it's a good nylon, the street corner nylon that leaks after 10 minutes of standing in the rain, or whatever, it's a sail. So wind pressure breaks the umbrella. So how do you fix that? Well, you release wind pressure, just like you would a plumbing check valve on the top of your water heater, or one of those pressure cookers. They have, you know, there's a relief valve so it doesn't explode. That's what we developed with Gust Buster. Is you have an umbrella with holes in it, you put a second canopy on it, and this is the part that's important, because we don't sew our canopy down. We sew it to elastic, so it rides up and down like a valve, where there are plenty of knockoffs out there that sew it through the nylon. Now, obviously, when the wind pulls on that nylon, and nylon is basically a thicker form of pantyhose, and any lady out there knows if you put a little hole in a pantyhose, what happens?
Ah!
It runs, right?
That's right.
So you get a little hole.
But
actually,
now you're running in the rain instead.
Now you bought an umbrella with 8 holes in it after you're using a little bit of wind.
Right.
So Gust Buster, which is why we are the number one umbrella in golf and won product of the year, over 10 years ago, I'm getting old, Merle, very quickly, that we have all those golfers that demand the Gust Buster, and there's about 95% of the tour that carries the Gust Buster because we're the only one that's not only unflippable and unflappable, but we're unleakable. And when you play for $50,000 to $100,000 a putt, you want to make sure you're dry. You want to key in playing in the rain, and you'll watch that this weekend at the U.S. Open, is having your towels up in there to dry your grips, to dry your hands, and to make sure your hands and your grips stay dry. And, of course, our golf umbrellas are all fiberglass and take a lot of abuse and pressure. Not all fiberglass frames are alike. So your Gust Buster, not only is it not unflip and flap and leakable, but it's the materials we use that are better than the rest. We use ABS plastic joints, so you can stick a bunch of weight in your umbrella, even though it's not made for that. Our umbrellas were designed to be abused by caddies and golfers who know they can get another one tomorrow because they're out there playing professionally.
Right.
So, and you're going to ask me, how much are they?
How much are they?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that, Merle. You're thinking probably $100 for a big golf umbrella, right?
I was just thinking about that.
Well, you're wrong. It's less than that. Our suggested retail of umbrellas range anywhere between $40 and $60. There's some. If you go to Amazon right now, they're running specials. You can get a folding umbrella $32.95 and a golf umbrella for $39.95 or $39.99. And they're guaranteed for life. If they break, you send in $10 for shipping and handling, and we'll either fix it or give you a new one. So how, other than you putting a hole in the canopy, how wrong can you be? It's the world's finest and smartest umbrella.
Now, don't you have three sizes, I think, or you only have two?
I have actually four sizes.
Oh, four?
Really five. And here's how they go. They have the folding umbrella, which opens up to 43 inches,
mm-hmm.
comes a little backpack that you can strap, or for a woman you can wear as a little backpack, or a man you just throw over your shoulder. That's what a standard, what people would call a totes umbrella. That's good for over 55 miles an hour. Then we have three different golf sizes. We have a ladies, a 58-inch. We have a 62-inch, which is what's a standard umbrella that most guys who have a golf cart drive. And then guys who want to be tour players, we have what's the tour size, which is a 68-inch. I suggest most people use a 62-inch because if you're using it in New York City, even I, who can buy, get everyone, use a 62-inch instead of a 68 on the sidewalks because it's a little bit unyieldy, that extra 6 inches. And then, of course, then there's the classic umbrella, which is your classic fashion umbrella, which is a curved handle with a little long ferrule on the end. That's a standard umbrella. That's a 48-inch umbrella. And then we have one other umbrella that's great for soccer moms. It is a seat umbrella. You'll see a lot of these in England. The difference is that we put a sun material on it, so you can either have a big fat guy like me up to 280 pounds sit on it, or you can flip it upside down and hold it, and it'll be good for 55-plus mile-an-hour winds, but yet it will also, with the sun material, cut the temperature 10 degrees.
What do you mean sit on it?
You can sit on it. And I'm not talking about Richie Cunningham in Happy Days. There's a little seat on it. There's a little seat on it that you tilt, and every player's wife out there has one. In fact, they're actually selling it through their charity, the PGA Tour Wives Association, because they're the ones who made me build it. Usually they used to go to England to buy them because there's a lot of queuing up, or what we would call standing online, they call queuing up, and people sit there, and of course, since it rains so much, they stuck an umbrella on the shaft. What we've done is we've not only done that, but because it's a little more windy here, you know, 20, 30 mile-an-hour winds, 10, even 15 mile-an-hour winds, flip some real cheap umbrellas. Our umbrellas, like I said, are good for over 55 miles an hour, gale force winds. And with the seat umbrella, we not only did that, but we added the sun material so it cuts the temperature 10 degrees. And then it was so popular, I built ladies' umbrellas, which we call a sunblock umbrella material as well, that we do a lot on the ladies' tour, because the ladies' tour, they will use a sun umbrella, which is good for about blocking about 96.5 UVA, UVB rays, and cuts the temperature over 10 degrees. So
wow.
On a really hot summer day, if you're elderly or you have skin condition or skin cancer, this is the kind of umbrella you want. A lot of Asians carry this material because in Asia, as skin color, the whiter you are, the higher class system you are.
Ah, I didn't
in Asia.
Know that.
That's why you ever watch these Korean women that are playing golf, they're usually all bundled up with big floppy hats and long shirts on. That's why. I didn't know that either.
Wow.
You learn a lot when you travel around the world trying to make umbrellas.
When did you start doing this?
I started doing it just about 13 years ago. So are you going to be at my bar mitzvah or what?
Oh, Azai, of course.
It is a week old. The company is a week older than my first son.
Oh, okay. So
next
this
time
is
I'll have him on because he could probably sell the product better than I can. He's a lot cuter. In fact, he's on my he's a guy on my Facebook site.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll get a chance. I'll look at that. So now. Since that point, so you started with like the first umbrella. Which was the first one that you made?
My first umbrella was a golf umbrella. It took me over 4 years more to make the folding umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
There's additional patents in there that separate us from even more so the knockoffs, because it's the only one that's good for the wind resistance. There's a lot of people that make claims that they're the same as Gustbuster, but we're the only ones who've built wind tunnels and put our money where our mouth is, with every media outlet under the sun, including, as you remember meeting me, I said, try the umbrella first. If I'm lying, well, you can skewer me on the air. Obviously, I know I don't lie. I've had live shots on Good Morning America, Fox News Channel, with our wind tunnel. The last one I did was on PIX recently with Larry Hoff, where we stuck him in a wind tunnel. And we say, see how unbelievable this is? Everything we've done, we had to do the right way. So the golf umbrella came out first, then I went on tour and started getting the players, thank God for them, who turned around and demanded that the club companies buy it. So we make umbrellas for Titleist and Cleveland and Callaway and Nike, On Tour and Ping, pretty much everybody out there we make umbrellas for. Now on retail, we don't all sell them on retail. We only do a few of them, such as Titleist and Cleveland. Or our big OEMs where we dual brand the umbrella. But you can buy a Gustbuster, like I said, at Amazon.com and a ton of luggage stores around the country, Paragon Sports here in Manhattan. They're available everywhere, and every quality pro shop carries a Gustbuster because it is the best, and we come with a guarantee.
And
they're not that expensive. When you go out and you look at what Burberry carries, and you go out and look at all these other umbrellas that they break, and they're $130 or $100, this is an umbrella. In fact, if you check our Facebook site, there's a news story we just had done in Canada with a gentleman I gave an umbrella to 9 years ago. He says eight. It was 9 years ago.
Right.
And he still has the umbrella. And anybody who was at the U.S. Open in 2002 that bought a Gustbuster, I guarantee still has that umbrella, and you'll see them out at the U.S. Open.
So
that's my biggest problem, Merle. They don't break. So I need everybody to go out and buy one because my kids need a college fund.
Yeah, you're right.
I didn't do a GM or Ford or Chrysler did and build an obsolescence.
That's what I was going to say.
I took in the world's best. And we back it up with a guarantee. And now I started a sunglass company. So when I'm done with umbrellas and it doesn't rain, I have something else to sell called Sunbuster Putt Readers, which we've also won Product of the Year for. And, you know, we've done a bunch of shooting glasses and that. But I know this is an umbrella story, and that's
no,
for
what
another
is,
sunny
no,
day.
I'm just curious. What is this? What is the sunglasses? Like, why?
Well, you know, when you make the world's best umbrella and it doesn't rain, it's still hard to sell umbrellas.
That's true.
So I wanted to keep my people because customer service is probably the second most important thing other than making sure you have a good product. It's really the first and most important thing. So when you have good people, you don't want to let them go. And when it doesn't rain, I don't care who you are, it's hard to sell umbrellas. And you can't control the weather. So I decided we're going to create a sunglass. And from creating a sunglass, I can't be just a sunglass because I'm not just another umbrella. I'm
right.
A Gustbuster. I'm not an umbrella. We're a Gustbuster. Just like, you know, we're trying to create the Kleenex brand of tissues.
We are
a Gustbuster umbrella. So we decided, we started working on glasses. I started working with tour players to make things or how you read a putting green to enhance your vision for the sport that you're doing. So we started Sunbuster Sport Enhancement Eyewear, SEE, and we won Product of the Year 2 years ago. The first product was called Putt Readers, which allow you to see the green and show you things you can't see with the naked eye, as well as protect your eyes, and designed to hit a golf ball. Most sunglasses, particularly sports glasses, are not designed to hit a golf ball because they're not decenterized right. And so we've made them golf correct so you can hit the golf ball. We've made them color correct to show you things on the green you can't see with the naked eye, and we've made the world's best golf glass. And then we went into shooting, and hopefully as soon as I raise my next funding, we'll go into fishing because I'm selling umbrellas lately faster than I get paid from my customers. But once again, go to the ones I'm telling you because I need the money. www.amazon.com. And you can see our videos on Amazon. I know they put up a couple of videos showing some of the reviews that we've had,
right,
and some of the quotes from CNN and New York Times and Hartford Current, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, you get a quick shot of the wind tunnel that we've tested our umbrellas against, and they've been tested here in New York at the College of Aeronautics, which is now Vaughan College, which is right across the street from LaGuardia Airport, which is where we did a lot of news stories before we started building our own mini wind fans that are really the back of wind tunnel labs, that we went out and we started to say seeing is believing, which we actually borrowed from that and took it to our sunglass company. But originally, seeing was believing. When you stick yourself in a wind tunnel at 60 miles an hour, you know why this is the world's best umbrella. And someday, Merle, I'm going to give you the best hair drying bit you've ever had in your entire life. I'll get your hair dry as well while you hold an umbrella.
You can't.
I'm trying to clean it up. I could have said the fan's name is Monica Blowinski, but I didn't do that. I guess I just did.
What? As far as my radio show, I don't know if I told you. You could say just like almost anything you want, as long as you don't say shit or fuck.
Oh, I can't say the 7:30 words? Then, I don't know. I'm a George Carlin fan.
No,
shit.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
but when you were talking, as far as the umbrella, so even if it's, I mean, if the thing is in the summertime, because of the UV rays, the other umbrella is important to have.
Yes, the sun umbrella is important in UV rays, soccer moms, and that's called a Gustbuster sunblock, S-U-N-B-L-O-K. See, I was very creative with my spelling, which is really not true. I went to the University of Hartford, so maybe that's why my spelling's not that good. I haven't really figured that one out yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure I'm going to get a nasty letter from the Alumni Association tomorrow. I got to be good. I got to put my kid through school soon.
Oh, okay.
I got to be smart. But on a serious note, I really went out there. I've tested these umbrellas. I've given them to the world's best who have to play in the rain, and they come with a guarantee because you can't give them to all the media people and dare them to try and prove you're wrong. I mean, that's how I got it on Regis. That's how I got it on CNN with Jeannie Most. That's how I got it with Steve Doocy on Fox News Channel, and I can go on and on from Sam Champion to Matt Lauer. They all have Gustbusters. In fact, we do Matt Lauer's. We've done Matt Lauer's cancer charity that's named after his father a bunch of times after he saw the umbrella. We're making umbrellas for Good Morning America right now as we speak because they've tried the umbrella and all the on-air help use it. And what's very identifiable of mine to anybody else is three things. Number one, it's got elastic on the outside of the umbrella. Number two, it's got teardrop wind vents. And number three, most of the time it says Gustbuster on the. Hello?
Yes.
I thought I lost you. It says I was in the host queue, and I thought I was on the air.
No, you are. I don't know what. It's very weird. I mean, it's okay. You've been on. Don't worry.
Okay. So the last, if I could, this would have been the ultimate practical joke. And the last and final thing is after the wind tunnel is that it says Gustbuster on the closure strap most of the time. Some of the OEMs that we do, we don't have it on there. But they always have our hang tags that say Gustbuster. And we back up our stuff by our guarantee. And, of course, if you can be as bold and obnoxious as I can, obviously you must make a good product.
Oh, yeah. Now, I just want to ask you, when you say you make it, like, I can't, like, say to you, oh, by the way, I certainly could have at the final New York Sharks game, it rained. It didn't pour, but it rained. And all I thought, oh, should have brought one of the umbrellas with me. But although it wasn't windy, so it wasn't like that, but it did rain. Now, and so my question is,
let's just touch on that. That's the advantage of having a good fabric on your canopy, as opposed to why people go in and buy a $15 umbrella in the drugstore or off the street.
Right.
The nylon makes a difference, and our nylon is 190T, but it's waterproof, water-resistant coatings on it. A regular nylon, if they even claim they're 190T, which most of them aren't, and they're lying about it anyway, is they leak. That means the water, after you start using it for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, if it's really raining bad, it starts to seep through the nylon. And, of course, now you got raindrops dripping on your head like Chinese water torture. That's almost like waterboarding, but more ancient.
Right. It's like that song, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, huh?
That's right. So if you bought an umbrella, ultimately you want it to last, and you want it. So having a good fabric. Then we have our joints that we use, our ABS plastic. We have an additional patent, our folding umbrella to protect the rivets. And we have additional patents or use additional materials that the tips don't break. If you ever watched when you walk down the street,
mm-hmm.
the little edges are missed. That's because the tips broke.
Right.
They used the wrong plastic. They cracked and fell off. Same thing with when you have a spoke that's hanging, the joint can crack. They may say fiberglass frame, but if you don't have the right fiberglass frame, it's just like anything else. You know, you get what you pay for. And since we're basically, we're the Rolls Royce of umbrellas, and I'm selling to you at a Chevy price. I want volume because it's a patent. I only have a few more years left of my patent, so I want everyone out to buy one. Because Jakey needs a college fund and the fact that we make the best umbrella, and it's the world's best gift. And
people
get one, turn around and say to you, you know, that was a really nice Christmas gift. And, of course, yes, we logo, which means we imprint. We do a lot of law firms. We do Donald Trump's umbrella.
Yeah, that's a question I want to ask you. Let's just say if I say, can you give me, if I sent you or gave you the New York Sharks logo, can you put it on an umbrella?
Yes, I did that for AT&T for Tiger Woods on Monday. The logo came in. We printed it right there. We were doing Donald Trump's umbrellas today. They say Trump on them.
And what's the minimum amount? Is there a
minimum
amount?
There is a minimum amount. There's 24 pieces for a golf umbrella, and we prefer 36 pieces on a folding umbrella because that's what comes in a box.
Okay.
There's obviously setup charges. We don't sell direct, but if they call 888-GUST-BUSTER,
mm-hmm.
gee, what a surprise. That's a toll-free number. They will tell them where they can get the umbrella, who they can buy it from for logo work.
Okay.
So that's another way of finding out. And, of course, you know, the retail sites. I know Innova Golf does some logoing, a lot of custom work, InnovaGolf.com. That's InnovaGolf.com. Amazon, strictly plain retail umbrellas that you don't want a special logo on it. But if there is any corporate people out there, we logo all the time. You want to do double canopies, we can custom order them and do them overseas in our factory because they can't be printed on an assembled good. Those are done overseas, and we need 90 to 120 days. We can do almost anything. We can custom make the fabric. It all depends on quantity and amount and artwork. We've
right.
done it all. I make umbrellas for all the major soccer teams in Europe. We've made umbrellas for the Bengals. We've made umbrellas for Mercedes-Benz, large ones, small ones, Lexus, Toyota. It really, really comes out whatever logos they want and how they want them logoed. There's all sorts of different things. If they go on our website, they get a few examples at GustBuster.com, and even the videotapes are on that website as well, so they can see some of the news stories and some of the things that we've done to prove that we make the world's smartest and best umbrella.
Okay. So, again, let's go. Let's repeat about the.
I got you stumped, Merle. I got you all aflutter.
The contest.
The contest this week, and we run different contests on Facebook. This week, you had to write something about your father in the rain. And you join up to the fan site, you write something to your father in the rain, and you can win one. The one who has the best and most creative story, you got an umbrella. I don't know what my ad agency is going to come up with next because I'm not that smart. That's their ballywick. And then, of course, we're about to shoot a video on YouTube and put people on the street in our wind tunnel with the umbrellas. We're looking at all sorts of things because the biggest problem with umbrellas is it doesn't have the greatest margin, especially since I'm not charging as much as I should
right.
for the amount of material and labor that we do on our umbrellas. I'm like the diner of umbrellas. I'm trying to make it up in volume.
Right.
I don't know how the diner of umbrella plays in Kentucky because I don't know if they have any diners, but obviously here in the metro region, everybody knows what a diner is.
Right. That's true. Well, maybe you can use me in one of your shoots.
Absolutely. I can take you and the Sharks. You can run around with their briefcases and their legal briefs. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just having a little fun with the name.
No, they're not that kind of Sharks, right?
They're girls. They're a female football team. I know these things. You see?
Yeah.
I'm with it.
No, actually, you know, wait. That would be a great idea. That would be a fabulous idea. I can get the owner what timing wise? Because actually, the owner Andrew Douglas lives on Long Island in the Hamptons, and we could do something with her. Maybe we can get a couple of other some Shark players.
As long as I don't get tackled, I'm getting old. I'm getting brittle. As long as I don't get tackled.
No, you don't. You won't get tackled.
Unless she's really, really cute, then maybe, you know. I don't know. My girlfriend may be upset, but I think as taking one for the team comes to mind, I guess.
Yeah, okay. So, all right. So people are going to go to your Facebook, and the Facebook is to get to that.
Gustbuster. Yeah, they just search Gustbuster, GUSTBUSTER,
mm-hmm.
and the Facebook site will magically appear,
mm-hmm.
and they can read the event page and tell you how to sign up for one. Of course, they can look at the videos and the photos. I'm not sure Tiger's umbrella is up there yet because it was we took them in action today. Somebody sent us a picture in from the Open showing that umbrella. It's also Raymond Floyd's. It's the same umbrella because AT&T sponsors both those players.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at any of the Titleist players or the Cleveland players or the Strixon players or most of the Nike players, I mean, the real key is the elastic and the wind and the teardrop. When you're looking on TV, it's the teardrop holes in it. So if you watch a reporter from say, WABC television, which we've made umbrellas for the weatherman, Bill Evans, or you're watching even NBC Today, my friend's a cameraman there. I know he gave away a bunch of my umbrellas to them. So you may see them today on the news at the 11 o'clock news hour. So if anybody's listening and they're done with your show and they want to watch the news, they can see them there. I know Roseanne Coletti was using it today because I got a phone call about it about an hour ago.
And that's on NBC, that's NBC?
That happens to be NBC. So you may be able to see it in action. Although it really wasn't that windy today. But anything, you know, the problem with wind, and people say, well, amid a 55-mile-an-hour wind, I'm not going to use the umbrella. Well, let me tell you something. Anybody who lives in any city who turns one building or another is definitely in an area where the umbrella flips, because most umbrellas flip between 10 and 20 miles an hour. Having an umbrella good for 55 miles an hour means that if you flip out on a building as it comes down as a wind tunnel and the force gets greater because it's narrowing down these city streets such as Chicago or New York or Philadelphia or Boston, that's why you want a gustbuster.
Okay.
It's not, we're doing it so we know it won't fall apart.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm gonna call you later.
Well, 888 Gustbuster is our toll free number. When it rains, who are you gonna call, Merle?
Gustbuster.
There you go. I'm hoping Universal sues me on the next one. Maybe I can make some free press, right?
Yeah, you will.
Well, we have an ambulance with a wind tunnel in it. We call it turbulence. So if you want, we can drive that right out to the football field and have a field day with the Sharks.
Okay.
I can give away free blowjobs. Are you allowed to say that on the air?
No.
Oh, well, it's too late.
I told you, you can't say that and you can't say shit or fuck.
Okay, well, then I guess we covered all bases. No shit, no fuck, no blowjobs.
Right.
It's a very boring show. By the way, I'm standing on one of your namesakes. It's an exit sign.
Oh, okay.
I always know you wanted to have your name in lights, so.
Yeah, that's why I changed it, of course.
There you go.
Okay. All right, so I hope everybody gets to hear about this, but I'll be getting this into the publications as well. And
well, I would appreciate that. My children, Jacob and Zachary, appreciate that.
Okay.
My ex-wife's lawyer probably appreciates that, too.
All right, well. Have a great evening, and
I appreciate the time. I hope the audience was well entertained about a boring subject of umbrellas, but it's not boring when you're sitting there getting soaking wet now. Either.
I know, you're not kidding. Okay,
so
all right.
Thank you for your time, and I'll speak to you soon.
Okay, take care. Have a good evening.
You too. Now, bye bye.
Bye bye. Yes, who you gonna call? Gustbusters. So when anybody gets a chance, of course, enter the contest. Now, let's see. It's time for that commercial. You know which one, Barbara.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yeah, you can get that on brownies.com. Okay, well, I'm waiting for my last caller from Table Server to call in. And in the meantime, I hope he didn't forget. That's what happens, though. People get too busy. So I'm going to take a break. Let's see. Let's do this one here.
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart. Without saying a word, you can light up the dark. Try as I may, I can never explain what I hear when you don't say a thing. The smile on your face lets them know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me wherever I fall. Say it best when you say nothing at all. All day long I can hear people talking out loud. But when you
Let's smile on your face.
when you say nothing at all, except when the call is not calling in, they're certainly saying nothing. Well, I want to get into, I have a giveaway. Ageless, youthful scent. You feel 20 again at any age. Well, there's a, I guess it's a, from this company, it's an anti-age perfume, and from Harvey Prince Company. And what it is I have the roll-ons, which not for under your arms, and the roll-ons there sell for about like $20. And the perfume is potion is infused with pink grapefruit, luscious mango, antioxidant pomegranate, jasmine, and musk. And I got to tell you, I mean, these things really, really smell wonderful. I don't know how it's supposed to, it says that it makes you, and again, I just turned 60. I don't know what I smelled like when I was 50, but these are really great. And if I have a bunch, I have some to give away. They're going quickly because I put it on the Queen's Times as well. So if anybody wants, and it's probably very, very inexpensive just for the shipping. And I think these, I'm not sure, this maybe it's a half an ounce. I really can't tell, you know, when there's some of those little bottles. I can't tell. But if you're interested in getting this freebie, email me. It's MEXIT at earthlink.net. That's MEXIT at earthlink.net. Include, you know, of course, your name and your address. Let me know. And of course, in the email, let me, you know, just say giveaway, ageless giveaway. I'll send one of these out to you. I gotta say, I must have one open here in my computer room because this wonderful whiff is just, you know, permeates. The other thing I'd like to mention, yes, one of my favorite seafood restaurants, which is McCormick and Schmick's. I'm not sure what they're all doing because they're not, they all do things on their own, but the McCormick and Schmick's in New York City is having a Father's Day menu, and I think probably a lot of places are going to be doing Father's Day menus, and this one, so if you go to, I guess, McCormick and Schmick's, I guess, to .com, and it's spelled McCormick, McCormick, ampersand, I guess. Is that an ampersand? Yes. And Schmick's, Schmick's. So just Google that, and it'll take you to their website, and you can see what any of the other McCormick and Schmick's restaurants are doing. But as I said, particularly the one in New York, and one of the great things about McCormick and Schmick's is their happy hours. And when I say happy hours, it's not like a one-hour deal. It's like a few hours before dinner time, and a few hours after dinner time. So, like if you're in Manhattan, especially, and if you're going to the theater. So you can do either before the theater, after the dinner, the happy hours. Not only do they have special drinks, but they have all this I don't know if you want to call them like tapas, but they're not too tiny. And they're different prices, so you can get certain things for like $1.95 or $2.95, et cetera. And I believe there's a minimum of, I think, $3.50. In terms of drinking, $3.50 on the drinks, and that's a really great idea. You'll be able to get sample, you know, some of the things that are on the menu,
if not, just go and sit down and have dinner there. One of the best things about McCormick and Schmick's is that they have a menu of, like, everyday changes. And so you'll know where the seafood is coming from, and the changes, lunch and dinner. And also what I'm trying to do is introduce them to those fabulous oysters that I had on Cape Cod at the oyster farm, the East Dennis Oyster Farm. Yum, yum, yum. So that's what I'm trying to see if I can get that done, because it's a little far away for me to just travel up to the... Well, I can't really go to the oyster farm and you know, sit there and eat. I mean, there are restaurants in that area. So this way I can get them in restaurants in my area, or at least closer to me. And so now I don't know what's going on with the table service. I'll just, let me briefly tell you what this is all about. I have these tables, the fold-up tables. Well, they're different kind of tables, but one of them is in particular this fold-up table, and it has like two, if you want to call them like two layers. So like at the top, you have the table, and it has holes in there to put your drinks in, or you can even put a flower, you know, a vase in there if you want to, you know. If you just want to serve somebody, like, well, I can't say breakfast in bed, breakfast out of bed, but then the second, the bottom kind of layer is another tray. So there are two trays, and it's pretty much designed for, like, you know, you're having a party, and you can put, like, maybe the bottles of wine on the top and maybe the glasses at the bottom, you know, things like that. And you could, one great thing to do is you put a few glasses. Let's say you're having two people having dinner for two, and you just bring it into your living room or wherever you want to put it, and you can put, like, say, maybe you have a wine and cheese kind of thing, and do that. They are nicely painted, and this is the kind. This is you fold up and then go into a bag, so you can take it with you. And the other kind is a kind of smaller thing, but it's like it screws. So again, there's no, you don't need a screwdriver and stuff like that. It's smaller, and it just basically, it's a tea table. So it's just the one tray on the top, and that one also has two spots for glasses as well, and that's really great. I understand that table server is also going to come out with one that you can use, like, for your laptop. Yep. So it probably, like, leans enough just so you can kind of, like, do your work on it, and I don't know what that's going to look like. It may have, I don't know if it's going to have, like, an area that has where you can put some food on as well. I'm not too sure they'll do that, because otherwise you don't want to get all, you know, food on your laptop. And yeah, you know what I mean. So now this weekend, is what I'm doing. Well, Circle Line is coming out with two more boats. So I've been invited. Let me send it. I'll tell you what this is about. Let's go into my email here and Circle Line. Okay. And here is what this is. Let's see. Okay. Here is what it said. The arrival of two brand new vessels. Is throwing a block party on the pier this Saturday. Well, I hope it I guess if it does rain, I'll bring one of my umbrellas, huh? They're going to welcome the Circle Line Brooklyn and the Circle Line Queens to the fleet. And they're having a ceremony, carnival-themed block party, with the proceeds going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Lee Taylor-Smith, Miss New York, and a young girl from Make-A-Wish will christen the new vessels at 10:30 a.m., and Brooklyn Borough President Marty Markowitz will also say a few words. Well, I asked because I was very curious. They're just naming these boats. It's not like the boats are going to go to touring Brooklyn or touring Queens. They just named them. What can you do? But I'm going to go there, and it says, I don't know, it's merry-go-round, jugglers, stilt walkers, balloon artists, cruises, barbecue, and more. So I'm going to do that on this Saturday. And on Sunday, I'm going to see a show called Thank You for Being a Friend, which is a takeoff, as you probably figure by saying that, on the Golden Girls. And it's supposed to be hilarious. And it's four guys in drag, and they each play one of the Golden Girls. And I'm quite looking forward to that. For a Sunday evening. So, well, I guess I'm, you know, since we didn't have our other call-in person, I'm going to like, you know, it's only like 3 minutes left. So I'm going to end it. Let's see. And, my cats are getting older. Thank goodness. Okay, they stopped scratching the hell out of me. Oh, God. That was really and they're in the stage of meow, pick me up, and I get either one or both of them coming up on and using my chest to take a nap on. It's very cute. Now they're cute. Before they weren't cute, but now they're getting cute. My concern will be when they get really big and they don't realize that they're big and they both of them try to cuddle up on my chest at the same time. That will be quite interesting. And so we're going to...
Are you ready for some football?
No, we're not ready for some football because the football season is over as with the Sharks. Yes, and by the way, the other team won only by 1 point. So as far as I'm concerned, the Sharks were winners in this particular game. I'll talk to you next week. And everybody, have a great evening, day, whatever it is that you're having.